It's great to have you here today, and thank you for joining me. I especially want to welcome those of you who may be listening for the first time. Yesterday, we kicked off the week by hearing the heart of the witness testimony of John the Baptist concerning Jesus. John saw Jesus walking towards him, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." This is compelling, and so that we understand what John means, I am breaking down the phrase into three parts. Part one is sin of the world. Let's talk about this today and ask this pertinent and penetrating question. What is sin? The question, what is sin, is such a necessary question. And yet the very moment that I mention the word sin, many people will immediately reach for the dial and turn to another station, turn off the radio altogether, or delete this podcast. We do not like the word. To Christians, it sounds like we're being too judgmental, harsh, and critical if we use the word sin. It makes us feel as if we are somehow better than others. We are their judges. We feel our own sin lurking around the corners of our souls and bodies. And so how dare we talk about sin as if we have the right to do so when we are ourselves such a mess? We shy away from even talking about it, uttering the word. We avoid it like an airborne virus. To people who are not Christians, the word sounds antiquated, like a decrepit piece of junk you'd stumble upon at someone's really bad yard sale. It's in the back corner, all covered in dust, and is beyond redemption and usefulness by even the most creative and capable of restorers. It's just not a useful word. It's fine for the church to use it, because after all, they're living in their own odd little world anyway. No wonder the churches are empty. But for the rest of us, what has sin got to do with me, living my life, minding my own business, and not bothering anyone else? I do have the right to live my life the way I want to, so do not trouble me with such archaic vocabulary, please. And whatever you do, Christian person, you must drop any sense of being judge, jury, and executioner in how I live my life. Nevertheless, some Christians want to plunge ahead and use the word sin. We recognize this is an important word, at least concept, and we cannot just ignore it. It's kind of fundamental to being a Christian, isn't it? I mean, why else follow Jesus if we do not have sin and require him to actually do something about it? But aware of the criticism we will receive if we dare to define the word and talk about it in public in any great detail, we don't. Instead, we come up with some way to murder it, drag the body of sin out back, shoot and kill it, and bury it, never to witness it rising again. Or we come up with some very creative ways to make it more popular with the masses, like pouring salt on potato chips, sugar in brownie mix, and finding the fattest steak at the local market. We want our discussion of this bland, nasty-tasting word to be full of salt, sugar, and fat so that the public can at least bite off a piece and chew it, and then maybe cut off another slice and easily digest that. Or we pull sin out of the box like a doll and dress it up in all sorts of fancy outfits like Barbie or the American Girl doll going to a party in the city on a Friday night. So we season the word in such a way, we dress up the word in such a way so that it's barely recognizable to its original meaning. And again, some Christians go through such contortions because sin is perceived to be a big, fat, ugly kind of word. We shudder to use it, but if we must, then we have to at least market it differently than before. The words of quote-unquote Christian publishers, writers, megachurch pastors, and marketing experts ring in our minds and make sense to our judgment-adverse thinking. If you want people to listen, if you want people to keep coming back, if you want them to actually buy and read this book, if you want them to listen to you on the radio, or hear what you're trying to say in your sermons, then you have to find a way to make sin more appealing, a topic to discuss. And so when I ask the question, what is sin? I do so cognizant of the way that the three-letter word sin is treated. And yet, I'm telling you up front, that is not the way I am going to treat sin. The primary reason I'm not going to never mention it or season it in a certain way so that it's more palatable to people listening to me, or to in some way dress it up so that we can wear sin everywhere and fit right in. The reason I will not do that is because God doesn't ever treat sin this way. In fact, there is no possible way that any of us can ever overestimate how wretched sin is and how reprehensible God finds it to be. God hates sin. He really, really hates it. Not only does he define it exactly as he sees it, but God demands that we do too. God demands this of me. We must call out sin for what it is. Sin in me, sin in you, and sin in every single person who has lived, is living, and will live, with only one single, solitary exception: Jesus Christ, God's Son, and sin's commanding killer. I'll say much more about that, of course, but first, before you know how Jesus slaughters sin, you have to know how sin is a potential killer to us. You have to know the truth about sin. And so, back to our question, what is sin? Sin is rebellion against God. Let me say that again. Sin is rebellion against God. And the objective of sin is the dethroning of God so that I can make myself God. Sin is all-out war on God. I want to battle God for his place as ruler of my life. If I am God, then God cannot be God, because there can only be one God. And if I am master of my own life, then anything goes. And God must be defeated, brought down, taken, as I lead a coup in my heart. As the Puritan writer Thomas Watson put it, quote, "Sin is God's would-be murderer. Sin is God's would-be murderer." And he continues, "Sin would not only unthrone God, but un-God him. If the sinner could help it, God would no longer be God." Unquote. That is what sin is all about. We are God. God is no longer God. Sin is God's would-be murderer, and if the sinner had it our way, God would no longer be God. That's why I tell you that sin is rebellion against God. No wonder God hates it. I say that sin is rebellion against God because this is what the Bible says. And I define sin as the Bible defines sin. Consider with me 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. No longer in the gospel according to John now, but instead fast-forwarding into our New Testaments to John's first letter. This is the same author, but a different book. We read this, 1 John 3 and verse 4, "Sin is lawlessness." Sin is lawlessness. Now, what is lawlessness? It is living like there is no law. Lawlessness is living like there is no law. And that's rebellion, my friends, because there is law. God gives his law to every human being that ever lives. He inscribes it. He writes it on our souls. He chisels it into our being. And he administers it with clarity in the Word of God, the Bible. God's law. You cannot understand sin without absorbing what is the law of God. And so we have to spend some time in the law to know what we mean by lawlessness and rebellion. And for that, we return to the Old Testament and the very first book of the Bible, Genesis. We'll come to that tomorrow on this broadcast. Please be back with me. But let me give you now the passage that we'll read to begin tomorrow so that you might read it on your own tonight. Get a hold of your Bible. If you do not have a Bible, plug this passage into www.BibleGateway.com. If you do not own a Bible, type BibleGateway.com into your browser and read Genesis chapter 2, verses 4 through 17. Genesis 2, verses 4 to 17. That way, you'll be better prepared for God is tomorrow. As we close today, let me just remind you of what I've said thus far, which is quite a bit. John the Baptist testified this about Jesus: "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Part one of this testimony is sin of the world. To open our discussion on this part, I'm asking this pertinent and penetrating question: what is sin? And I have defined sin as rebellion against God. And the objective of sin is the dethroning of God so that I can make myself God. Sin is all-out war against God. With sin defined, we then went to 1 John 3 and verse 4, which says, sin is lawlessness. And that will lead us into the truth of God's law, because in order to talk about lawlessness, we have to talk about the law, that is, God's law. And that pushes us back into the Old Testament, where we'll read in Genesis chapter 2. We'll also read over into chapter 3 as well. So that is what we have done, and that's where we'll pick up tomorrow. You don't want to miss our time together midweek on a Wednesday, so call up a friend and invite them to listen with you as we grow in our understanding of sin as God sees it. We're talking about sin as God sees it, and that's all part of knowing who God is.